Chapter 23. Polaris Ballroom, Constellation Hotel and Conference Center, Bermuda. Kurt had been to more trade shows and conferences than he cared to remember, but he'd never seen anything quite like the R3 Blackout Conference. It was less a trade show and more like an electronic version of Mardi Gras. In large rooms, lit by black light, electronic music thumped away while glow-in-the-dark drinks were poured and passed around. Men and women wore active clothing, equipped with LEDs and fiber-optic lights that changed with their body temperature. The colors supposedly corresponded with their state of mind. Fear, aggression, arousal, and contentedness were all represented by different hues. And everyone in the hall wore clear glasses with little computer displays projected on the lenses. "Feel like I've died and gone to electronic hell," Kurt said.
"You should embrace this," Joe replied. "Remember that whole remaining character thing. Besides, when in Rome and all that."
"But if this is Rome," Kurt said, "then the barbarians have already conquered." A woman in a neon green rain slicker with lighted piping around the collar came up to them and scanned their ID badges.
"Welcome to the Blackout," she said. "Here are your complimentary sentience goggles."
She handed them each a pair of not-so-stylish glasses with lenses tinted a pale pink color. Kurt put them on and was instantly presented with a wave of information. The words, "Amanda, host," appeared above the woman in the green outfit.
"Your name is Amanda?" Kurt asked.
"It is," she said. "I'm a guest facilitator, sometimes called a host. If you tap the side of your glasses, you'll get more information about me or anyone you're speaking to."
Kurt tapped a spot on the right arm of the glasses. Immediately, more information appeared about Amanda. Sex, female. Status, single. Home, Palo Alto, California. Employer, Sentience Industries. Education, B.S. in Technology, M.S. in Network Science, Stanford University. Quote, "If you think you can keep up with me, go ahead and try." Standing next to Kurt, Joe was reading the same thing. He grinned.
"That's something I might be interested in attempting," he said.
"Easy there, numbers," Kurt said. "We're here on business." As Joe flirted, Kurt scanned the room and read the names of other people nearby.
"You can also get directions via voice activation," Amanda said. "Press the other arm and speak."
"Elevator," Kurt said, testing the system. A faint line appeared on the glass. It led across the room, appearing like a shadow on the crowd before brightening against the far wall and turning. Their host beamed. "All you have to do is follow that line and you'll be taken right to the elevator."
"Personal GPS," Kurt replied. "I like it." "Let me try," Joe said.
He pressed the sensor on the left arm of his own glasses and spoke.
"Directions to winning Amanda's heart."
A line pointed directly toward Amanda, but nothing more appeared.
"Unfortunately, it doesn't give emotional directions," she joked.
"But if you're good at foot rubs, you're halfway there." She tapped a sensor on the arm of the glasses for Joe, and a little heart appeared beside her name. Joe raised his eyebrows and smiled.
"Thank you," Kurt said. "We won't take up any more of your time."
Amanda left to speak with other guests, and Kurt and Joe began wandering around the main convention hall, talking to other attendees and getting used to the idea of knowing who one was speaking with before even asking a single question. Kurt found it stilted the interactions.
"One thing's for sure. You don't have to make small talk with these things on. It's just right to the chase."
"I'm saving all the single women in my list of favorites," Joe said. "Unfortunately, that leaves no room for you."
"I'm heartbroken," Kurt feigned. "Time to get down to business."
He pressed the sensor on the arm of his glasses and spoke. "Fuel cell displays." A list of several companies hawking their most advanced fuel cells appeared. Kurt pressed the sensor again and spoke the name of the first company. A line directing him across the room led to an impressive booth with promotional video running on multiple screens. Each mini-movie showed different uses of the fuel cell system, but the technical information suggested there was nothing revolutionary about this company's products. He and Joe moved to a second booth, and then a third. The results were the same.
"Nothing special about these designs," Joe said. Just a little more efficient than your garden variety fuel cells.
Don't bother saving them to your favorites, Kurt said. He tapped the button on the arm of the glasses and spoke the name of the last company on the list.
Novum Industria.
Don't you mean industrial with an L? Joe asked.
That's not what it says here, Kurt replied.
The line on the glasses led Kurt through a swirling crowd and past a wall covered with falling water. Like everything else in the blackout conference, the water appeared to glow in the black light. As he passed the end of the wall, he arrived at another display. Here, he saw samples of magnetic material and information about batteries and storage systems. As he watched through the glasses, words appeared from a background that seemed to be made of solid rock. Novum Industria. This time, the glasses offered a translation. Latin for new energy. In a small lounge behind all the technical stuff, a woman with wavy dark hair, full lips, and a form-fitting suit was holding court. Kurt noticed her eyes, partly because she wasn't wearing the sentience goggles, and partly because they were instantly alluring, almond-shaped and canted slightly, which gave her an almost feline appearance. As Kurt scanned the group around her, the glasses told him her subjects were all potential investors. He moved in with the others, focused on the woman, and was rewarded with information about her. Tessa Franco, founder, president, and CEO of Novum Industria Incorporated. Kurt didn't bother getting the rest of the information. He took off the glasses, stood, and waited for her to finish her pitch about where her company was going and why. The events in the Gulf of Mexico were only the latest indication of our need to end this mad reliance on fossil fuels, she said. We're burning our way to a new kind of hell on Earth. Global warming, climate change, record hurricanes, not to mention bleached reefs and drastically affected fish populations. The effects are obvious, but people are kidding themselves if they think any government or UN program will end this reliance. That's a liberal pipe dream and a foolish waste of money. The only thing that will end the suicidal use of fossil fuels is the development of something better. Novum Industria has come up with that something. She stepped aside, and a holographic video vaguely described their newly integrated fuel cell and battery system. It gave away no proprietary details, but Kurt could tell it was different than anything at the other booths. He noticed the men around her hanging on every word. Is it money or love thereafter? Joe whispered. A little bit of both, Kurt said. The question is, what does she need? A little of both, Joe said. My thoughts exactly. Each of the potential investors took a moment to address Tessa. They all spoke with confidence, but it was obvious that Tessa had the high ground. She commanded the room well, talking to one man, then the next, turning to avoid follow-up questions and keeping each of them wanting more. Kurt wasn't interested in joining a crowd of fawning onlookers. He needed to stand out in the crowd. Instead of waiting his turn, he stepped forward, pushed through the line, and offered a hand, interrupting her mid-sentence. I know it's old-fashioned, but a handshake tells you a great deal about a person, far more than any pair of smart glasses can reveal. Tessa stopped in the middle of an explanation, eyeing Kurt for a moment. Since she wasn't wearing the sentience goggles, Kurt had her at a disadvantage. Macklin Hatcher, he said, Firelight Investing. She paused for another moment and then shook his hand. Tessa Franco, she replied. Pleased to meet you. Though it's odd for a technology investor to choose gut instinct over hardware. I don't invest in hardware, Kurt said with the confidence only a billionaire could have. I invest in people. Whatever you've built here, someone else will copy it soon enough. Maybe even one of these men, if you don't take their money. Even worse, someone will build off your design and surpass it. But if you're who I think you are, you'll be onto something new by then. As they say, the driven soul will always succeed. At this, Tessa brightened, and Kurt didn't need any interactive clothing to know he'd gotten her exactly right. Excuse me, one of the potential investors said. We were in the middle of... Yes, you were, Kurt said. My apologies to everyone. Enjoy your evening, especially you, Ms. Franco. With that,
Kurt offered the slightest bow and took his leave of the group. Joe rejoined him as he walked off.
I never realized that annoying someone was your best way of introducing yourself.
All that matters is making an impression, Kurt said. Joe nodded.
Think she's storing your name in her favorites?
That, or deleting me altogether, Kurt said.
I'm sure we'll find out, Joe said. In the meantime, I looked at their display. The design elements are very similar to what we pulled off that submersible. Though without a microscopic examination, there's not much I can prove.
It's our only lead for now, Kurt said. If we promise enough money, she might give us a sample to test. They'd gone halfway across the room when Kurt felt a buzzing sensation in his pocket. He pulled out the glasses, found them vibrating, and put them on.
A message has been delivered, he said.
Joe shook his head. If she's asking for a date, I'm going to have to rethink my entire existence. At the tap of a button, Kurt opened the message. It displayed out in front of him as if the words were floating in midair.
You're right, Mr. Hatcher. I am a driven soul. So perhaps there's something to this handshake business of yours. Would you care to join me for dinner tomorrow night and explore the possibilities of additional skin-to-skin contact? Tessa F.
I haven't been deleted after all, Kurt said. Now let's see if I can figure out how to reply. After scrolling through a menu and finding the message app, Kurt spoke softly.
Tomorrow's no good. It'll have to be tonight.
The words appeared in his vision and then vanished as he hit send. The response was disheartening.
I'm afraid I'm meeting with Oliver Warren tonight. Perhaps some other time, if fate allows. Tessa F.
Kurt didn't respond. Joe shook his head.
The mighty Casey.
So it seems, Kurt said. Let's wander around and see what else we can find.